Hello, friends. Brett here. On today's show, no nasty weather is going to keep newlyweds from dancing. A dude finds a sparkly thing that changes everything. Playful dogs find a new job, and cows and trees cancel each other out. Don't worry, it'll all make sense. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the after times. You get what I'm talking about. So come on. What say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world? You up for that? Then have a seat, because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
I had a moment like a traffic moment like you just explained, Monica, where I was coming home on a Tuesday from Round Rock, and I have therapy at 4 o'clock, and it was 3 o'clock when I left work. So you would think I got plenty of time to get home.
Yes.
But I made the mistake of staying on 35.
No.
And then as I hit Round Rock, which sometimes I hate Round Rock, everything stops just past the toll road. So I've just missed it, right?
And I'm thinking, just missed the opportunity.
And then I'm like, then I need to get off around Howard Lane. Oh, my gas. I'm at 4 miles left. And we're just stopped. And time is moving forward. And I'm looking and I'm freaking. I'm like, yeah, this is the perfect way to go to therapy. Just
yes,
wound.
At least you're ahead of the therapy.
So
it's a great introductory sentence to therapy. I just stabbed 4 people.
Yeah, so, no, but what I ended up doing was I stopped at Howard Lane, got gas, and then looked, and it was 4 o'clock. So I pulled off on a side street, set up my phone on my dashboard, and I did therapy in my car.
Yep.
She's like, where are you? I go, I'm in my car. She goes, are you driving right now? I said, no, I'm not. And we did a whole hour. So, hi, you're listening to Two Beers In, where we talk about therapy and alcohol and
traffic
and
the ways we get through traffic.
Yes.
Through therapy.
Yes.
And alcohol.
Yep. Hopefully not alcohol while you're in traffic.
That's, yeah. I was thinking as I was stuck in traffic,
I could use a drink.
It was kind of like, I'd be dealing with this a lot better if I had 2 beers in me.
That's right.
But no, that was
yes.
Well, that was not the situation.
I am one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. I've already, while waiting patiently and having a good conversation with Doug, I enjoyed a ginger on ginger mule.
Okay.
And now I'm enjoying my gin and tonic with a splash of Angostura bitters.
That sounds pornographic.
Yep.
I'm your other co-host, Monica, and I am having an Austin East cider, but in a glass, because I'm not completely uncouth.
That's right.
I'm a lady.
I like your couth. And there's Doug right over there.
And
Doug.
I'm having a Hellas beer.
Yep. How unusual.
Yes, it's new and different.
Friends, we have fun topics this week.
Yeah.
Thank you for jumping in, Monica, again to go. Reminder, Brett, you have some...
It's all good.
You should put some stuff together. And I was like, I will do that. And so I did today.
I'm somewhat
about 20
sort
minutes
of
ago.
Semi-retired, but not really. But I just needed a shift of focus last night. And I thought, let's find some good news.
Yes.
And
So and I was looking at them like, great. And I looked and I go, oh, the source where we usually get, she got it from there. So that's two things I can't pick out. I have to find two more.
So. I like how last week the gauntlet was thrown. Let's see if I said I found two stories for the show, and you said, oh, let's see if they're the same two stories that I had picked out, and they weren't.
And they were not.
They were not.
And that happened again this week. Well, mostly because you gave me the stories before I even started thinking about them. So let's start with a story about a wedding. When tornadoes erupt, wedding, they had their first dance in a basement shelter, and it restored my faith in humanity. Good Lord, I could go with that. I would welcome restoring my faith in humanity. Fleeing into the basement shelter of a hotel during a tornado isn't exactly a mood setter for a romantic dance, but that's exactly the bizarre situation that 25-year-old newlyweds Alex and Sarah Schilke found themselves in back in June. So, it closed it down. Let me open it up.
They hosted their wedding at the Grand Geneva Resort and Spa in Wisconsin. The reception was already underway when a tornado warning was issued for the area.
Mm-hmm.
And the wedding party and the rest of the hotel's guests took shelter in the venue's basement. A group of strangers heard that the newlyweds hadn't had their first dance, and they offered to sing and play the guitar.
Aww.
Yay!
Yeah.
Heartwarming mobile phone video shows Alex and Sarah swaying to their first dance, with strangers staying at the hotel shining their phone flashlights on them to drive away the darkness. So they must have lost power as well, I guess.
Or maybe they were kind of depressed and they were shining them to, you know. That moment of having our loved ones and strangers come together to create this beautiful moment and share it with us was so important, said Sarah. It restored my faith in humanity.
Oh.
Yeah, this is sweet. They had met 4.5 years ago when they were studying computer science at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. And Alex proposed to Sarah. This reminds me a little bit of my wedding.
Oh. Was there a tornado?
Let you out of the basement?
Well, no, it was...
Did you go to the basement on purpose?
Yeah, we found the basement of the Alamo, and while we were there... Yeah. No, the week before Katrina hit, and all of our family from Louisiana couldn't come. And
because they were in Mississippi.
Yeah, they were on the other way. Like, how'd you get there? And they're like, I don't know.
But people said, oh, well, that's a man and that's a woman. So I guess it's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. So, but anyway, yeah, so that whole thing happened and we ended up donating our food to the people that were coming in from Louisiana to take shelter in Austin.
That's great.
The 181-strong wedding party moved to the basement shelter. They were joined by members. Sure. They're just repeating what had happened.
We got to go. We got cows.
Yeah.
So a few people from the party braved the storm and went upstairs to grab some drinks. So they had some comfort.
Got some southern
some
comfort.
Some southern comfort.
Yeah, that's
probably,
right.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin?
But, there was probably cheese, too.
Yeah.
Probably lots of cheese.
I hope that there was cheese.
Yeah. So this takes me back to when I was in... in Iowa a couple years back, and my client there, roofing client, was having a customer appreciation party, and it was in their warehouse. And they, every year that they do this, they have all sorts of raffle items, and the big final raffle item is always a voucher for travel. It's
$1,000. I was hoping it was a big wheel of cheese. I thought we were going.
No. So it's always like a $1,000 voucher for travel because people want to get the hell out of Iowa. Right?
Sure.
So maybe go all the way to, you know, Indianapolis or Minneapolis or something.
Yeah.
But the weather was just crazy. And there are like 800 people stuffed in this warehouse. And everyone's phones go off at the same time with that emergency blare.
Oh, no.
And everyone's holding up their raffle tickets waiting for the big announcement. And I get my phone out and it says, tornado imminent, take shelter now.
Wow.
And I showed it to the general manager. I said, Dawn, look. And she was like, it's Iowa. And I looked around the room, and everybody has their raffle tickets out. And they're kind of looking at Dawn like, come on.
Come on.
Read out that number.
Yeah.
It's like...
It feels like reading off spreadsheets and management meetings while we're getting mortared in Iraq.
Exactly.
Like, wow, that was close. Anyway, what do we have here?
As you can see by the row number 15 there.
Right, exactly. Seems surreal, but at the time, that's what we did.
So we were really surprised that 75% of our guests wanted to continue the party after all of that. We ended up continuing on the reception, finally began to give speeches, and enjoyed a few more dances throughout the night.
Oh.
So congratulations to them.
And there's even a little video that we will post along with the story.
Yep. Only because you told me to.
If you want to dance along.
I always want to dance along. I'm so grateful for you to tell me that. You want to take the next one?
Hang on, because there we go. Because mine closed too.
That'd be funny if we were
stories
affecting
have
each
rejected
other's
hosts.
Yeah, it'd be funny if we were affecting each
one.
Other's.
Wrong one.
Oh,
yeah,
wait, no,
right.
No,
wrong
me,
one.
No, me, no,
wait,
me.
Wait, that's.
It's not supposed to be a versus game you're doing here.
Here we go.
Today on Game Grumps.
Indebted Indian laborer, and when we say Indian, we mean India. Indian,
yes.
Finds life-changing $100,000 diamond.
Nice.
In central India, a hardworking family man found himself on top of a mountain of debt, also managed to find himself a 19.22 carat diamond worth almost $100,000.
Wow.
40-year-old Raju Gaunt and his younger brother Rakesh Gaunt from the central Indian state of Madhya Pradesh. They take home about $4 a day from digging for gold on a government leased land, and they don't find very much, so they also work in farmers' fields driving tractors.
Okay.
In addition to that. And it's uncertain work, to say the least. But they piled up a sizable amount of debt just trying to make ends meet. And Gond felt an uneasy, certainly, an uneasy certain, what? That.
Wait, this uncertain work landed the older Gond in a sizable amount of debt,
yes.
Putting food on the table for his family while renewing his prospecting lease.
Right. His luck turned down in a makeshift mine shaft.
Yes.
Where he made a fortuitous find.
Yes.
With every grain of dirt removed, see, that's where I missed. Gond felt an uneasy, and see, it still doesn't make an uneasy certainty grow in his throat. That,
like,
wow, AI, once again.
By AI.
They're going the other direction instead of going, hey, his fortune turned, instead of, that's where his fortune turned.
Exactly.
Yeah, the sequel to John Steinbeck's The Pearl, this guy's the diamond is not nearly as good.
He had this uneasy feeling that he found a $100,000. Why are you uneasy? Oh, no.
And I love this. It must be a diamond. Just look how it shines. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Because,
that's not what they look like.
That's the only way.
Quartz.
Yep.
Quartz don't shine like that.
And also unfinished diamonds don't look like that either.
They don't. No.
Okay, now we're starting to think maybe a little bullshit. A little bit.
I think the story's real, but I think it was just poorly written.
Yeah.
On behalf of Good News Network. Sorry. Raju and Rakesh jumped around and hugged in excitement before hurtling down the road across the 7 miles back home on their bike.
Oh.
Horribly constructed sentence
on
there.
On their bike. Is it one bike and they're both?
I guess.
Wow.
Next, the pair took their mother with them to Pana Diamond office to have the stone evaluated. And CNN spoke with the office and the Gond family about the discovery and the way the small-scale mining such as this works.
Right.
Is that the government will allow individuals to pay about $9.50 for the rights to prospect for gemstones. Whatever is found is then evaluated and held in trust by the government office until the total value of all gemstones turned over arrives at a certain number. In this case, of diamonds, it's $360,000.
Wow.
In estimated value.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was worth $360,000 and they got $100,000
right.
of that. That's some good work there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an uneasy feeling to get $100,000.
Considering as a news story done by Mad Lib, that's pretty good, right?
As it happened, the monsoon rains wash away a lot of work opportunities. And that's the whole reason Raju and Rakesh decided to switch from gold panning to diamond prospecting.
Right. Huh.
So it's certainly not a daily bread sort of enjoyment and employment. and with a large family of in-laws and seven children to support. Oh, my God, it's the Von Trapps of India. They
You're
going
to make me sing the song, aren't you?
No. The first thing that he's going to do is pay back debt of about $6,000.
Okay.
And then invest in all the children getting educated.
Sure.
Build homes, buy some lands, and maybe a tractor.
Yay. Buy that second bike, finally.
So this story kind of inspired me because next week I'm going to be in North Carolina.
Okay.
And digging for diamonds.
Hoping to trip over a large sapphire or emerald or ruby. I'll take any of them.
Wow.
Any of the colored stones.
I'm glad you're so open-minded about
it. Yeah, and now that I have a picture of their diamond, I'll know what to look for.
Yep.
It'll be all sparkly.
And you'll feel uneasy. I'll feel uneasy.
The uneasiness will rise up into my throat.
Oh, it's getting there for me.
What am I going to do? I'm going to next plunge down a mountain.
On my bike, across 7 miles.
Yikes.
Okay.
Yikes.
Let's see what other great sentence structure we can find
I think I went with nature for the last two things.
Yes.
This one, what I really dug the idea is that in England, since you know, they killed off all their wolves.
Sure.
I mean, they have.
Got to put something in the pies.
Well, yeah, exactly. But they killed off all the wolves way back.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up it changed the environment. Right. And so then now they're trying to figure out how to rewild some of the environment. And one of the things that they're doing, armed with backpacks of seeds, local pooches enlisted to help rewild urban nature reserve.
Okay.
They have pooch seeds? How does that work?
So it's inspired. Yeah, they're trying to plant dog pooches.
When a female dog and a male dog love each other very much.
And sometimes they don't even have to be a girl dog and a boy dog.
That's right.
It could just be your leg. It could just be your leg.
You're not learning any science here. No. We guarantee it.
So because the land has been heavily degraded by foot traffic, the project co-opts dogs' tendency to run about in the woods to spread wildflower seed from saddlebags strapped to the harness around the dog's abdomen. The idea mimics the function that wolves once played in that part of England, roaming over vast distances, getting grass and flowered seeds stuck in their coat, only to fall off and germinate somewhere else.
Cool, they're giving dogs fanny packs.
I just think that's fantastic.
Sure, why not?
I mean, sure. That's just what the dog gonna do, so why not?
Can't we just put Velcro on small children?
Yes.
And set them loose?
In the woods.
In the woods.
There's no wolves out there, so they're gonna be fine.
Hansel, Gretel.
Get on out of here. Why are we in England, mother?
I can see why we're not on the council.
Yep. So we're really interested in the rewilding processes, but they often involved reintroducing big herbivores like bison or wild horses. I didn't know there were bison in... England?
In England. Okay.
I know there were reindeer at one point.
Yeah.
I don't know about bison.
Dylan Walker is from the Railway Land Wildlife Trust, who organized the project back in 2019. In a smaller urban nature reserve, it's really hard to do those things. So to replicate the effect of those animals have on the ecosystem, we aim to utilize the vast number of dog walkers that are visiting the nature reserve daily. I just think it's just a great idea. It costs almost nothing to do this. It's the seeds.
Yeah.
And say, hey, you think your dog could wear a backpack?
Yep.
You know, the dogs I know, you're just going to get a bunch of seeds on your couch while you watch Netflix. They're not going to go anywhere.
That's true. Typo, do you want to go?
Typo will get outside of your front yard, and that's about it.
He'll be like, well, my front lawn is really done.
Yes.
You could do the same with cats.
It's usually a meadow anyway.
You could do the same with cats, too, you know, you would think.
Oh, you've seen his front lawn. Yeah.
Shut up, both of you.
That's adorable.
It's a nice meadow.
They found the people who got lost.
Some explorer in a pith helmet comes through with
that's
a machete.
Right.
Dr. Livingston, I presume.
That's right. And here we go again.
Is this Africa? No, it's Brett's house.
Oh, does he have gumbo? They talked to the dog workers, and one said, I signed up because it sounded like such a good fit. See? I was asked to place a harnesser on my chocolate cocker spaniel, Bertie, and he ran around spreading seeds like a... Sorry.
Like a seed-spreading dog.
Like a Jackson Pollock painting.
Oh, no.
Just like how wolves did it years ago.
Yeek.
That's Chrisetta Murray, a dog walker who regularly uses the nature preserve. A community-based project like this not only helps engage and teach people about the ecological impact of wildlife, but it also allows us to make our wildlife and environments richer in the process. So, yay.
So they got rid of all the wolves, even the werewolves?
Yes.
That's why they say...
Werewolf.
Werewolves.
Werewolves. Werewolves. Swearwolves. We're werewolves, not swearwolves. All right. So our last story, also a nature thing, Billy Bobber. Trees reveal climate surprise.
Surprise!
The bark removes methane from the atmosphere. So we've been worried about the cows farting it up.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up we might have, it might not be as bad as we initially thought. Okay. So you want to do this one, Monica?
I will... tag team with you here.
Sure.
Surprise discovery from the University of Birmingham shows that we may be significantly underestimating the potential of trees to regulate the variables of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
That's because they found microbes living inside trees' bark absorb the greenhouse gas methane about as significantly as microbes living in soil.
Okay.
It's been long thought that soil is the only effective terrestrial methane sink. As certain microorganisms use methane as a food source, but similar creatures live under a tree's layer of bark, meaning that not only do our woody cousins withdraw CO2 from the atmosphere and store it in their roots, but also remove the methane as well, about as effectively or perhaps more so than soil. But remember, it's not a competition.
No, it is not.
No.
And also remember, if you didn't know this, and I think a lot of people do, methane is a potent greenhouse gas for the few short years it exists in the atmosphere before degrading. So, I mean, that's part
words of... words to live by.
Yep.
So stop Taco Bell.
Or just keep a box of matches with you. Yes, so
right.
Just in case. So there was the study. The researchers investigated upland tropical temperate and boreal forest trees. Specifically, they took measurements spanning tropical forests in the Amazon and Panama.
Panama!
Da-na-da-da.
Panama!
I was like, I looked at them like, what?
I got it.
The temperate broadleaf trees of the UK and boreal coniferous forests in Sweden.
Easy for you to say.
The methane absorption was strongest in the tropical forests. Probably because, you know, it's warmer there.
More bark?
Yep.
Maybe not more bark, maybe more humidity?
Or more microbes.
Yeah.
Yep. By studying methane exchange between the atmosphere and tree bark at multiple heights, maybe it's also the height of the trees, too. Because in the Amazon, you have super high trees, and it's all different levels. The researchers were able to show that while at soil level, the trees... we're likely to emit a small amount of methane from a couple of meters up the direction of exchange switches, and methane from the atmosphere is consumed. Okay, that was weird.
So based on how we're doing science today, I think we're boxing up farts and sending them to Brazil. Is that how this works?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But specifically old farts.
Old farts.
Yeah. Where are we going?
Which I think, wasn't that what we did after World War II?
Yep.
No, I'm sorry, that was Argentina.
Yeah, that's Argentina.
Yeah. Definitely cry for me, Argentina.
Yeah. It's not the first time scientists have made estimations regarding climate change and come up incorrect in the wrong way. Climate scientists in the Netherlands recently... okay, so now they're just shitting on these guys. climate scientists in the Netherlands recently found that previous estimates about how much plastic entered the oceans over the last 20 years are probably exaggerated by 3,000%.
Wait, 30 times the amount of plastic? That's crazy.
That it was over-exaggerated.
Right.
By 30 times. They're like, yeah, but there's still that patch out there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
In the couple of
the
spots.
The thing that's as big as Rhode Island,
yeah,
or something.
Or Texas.
That's kind of big.
That's a huge error in terms of where you put your decimal.
Yeah, I think we need to follow up on that.
I think
that
there
one
needs to be a spreadsheet.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I could talk it definitely about that. Boy, is this podcast going to rock. Let's do it.
We're going to need a PowerPoint.
If you see over here, we just go from the debits to the credits. Oh, no, they're committing Harry Carey. I'm halfway through my presentation.
Oh, they really hate me. Why are you guys farting so much? Trying to end it.
Dude, your presentation bombed.
Yep.
I mean, literally.
They were yep, ready definitely to kill you. I have no clever segue, so how can you give us money?
Well, that
best
I mean,
one yet.
Doug set you up there with the spreadsheet.
I know, but I
we've
just
looked
realized
at the spreadsheet.
Yep, and we
found,
said
we found it. You know, it had possibilities.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say it's lacking.
No,
but there are some empty spaces there that we
there's
could
some
be
opportunities.
Yes,
we there are be opportunities.
We could be filling those in.
And you know, how would you do that? If you wanted to fill in those opportunities, how would you do that? Well, friends, you would go
for
to...
For just $3 a month.
There's no Sally Struthers here. Patreon.com/2beersin
is where you would go. Do you want to hear more fart jokes? Sure, we all do.
Sure, we all do.
We have to mail these boxes of farts to Brazil. Give us the postage.
And then, why are you putting me in this box? You could start by giving us $3 a month. Easy commitment. Super easy. It lets us know you exist. We will thank you. And you will keep giving us money.
Because you'll forget you've subscribed.
Yep.
You'll forget you've subscribed and you'll, and you know, it's like, what's this monthly $3 thing coming out of my PayPal every month?
In the Patreon, I will talk about that, about an issue that happened because of that kind of thing.
Okay.
For $5 a month, you get an extra episode, which we talk about. You get to listen to in the Patreon. There's also a thing of when we get all of this done right, the Patreon has its own feed that you can use instead of just using 2beersin.com and getting... Those are two different feeds. Even though they have the same stuff, it's just a different way to get with us. And then there's, you know, we have other fees that go... or subscriptions that go up, not fees.
There are no fees.
There are no fees. They're opportunities.
Yes. They're opportunities.
Opportunities. Anyway, let's just get to the end here. Also,
make it end.
Give us a one-time, new one-time payments by going to Patreon or by going to PayPal or Venmo and putting in 2beersin at Waitlist. pod.com, which is also where you can email us. We want to hear from you.
Yes.
That's really all this is about. We just want to hear from you.
That's right. We want to hear you say, more fart jokes, please.
Please, more fart jokes.
More animal stories, more fart jokes.
Yep.
And
we thank you.
Shit about diamonds.
We thank you. We thank you for what you're doing for us now. Also, go to your aggregator of choice and upvote us. And recommend this to your friends, please.
Yes.
Because that's how this works. Yes. Monica, tell us about the closing song.
Closing song. Taking us back to 1979.
Oh.
The premiere album, the breakthrough album by Ricky Lee Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Self-titled.
Yeah.
And, of course, the big hit from that was Chuck E's In Love.
Yep.
And, by the way, when Jim, my late husband, first signed on the radio station in Greensboro,
mm-hmm.
It was before cell phones in the car, before car phones were really all that common. So Chucky's in Love was the, oh my God, Mr. Program Director, you need to call the radio station right now. It was our emergency song. It was set aside. No one was allowed to play Chucky's in Love unless there was a dire emergency and Jim needed to pull over and call the radio station and find out what the hell was going on.
Right.
So every time I hear Chucky's in Love, I'm always like, ah, Jim, call the radio station, pull over. But this song is Danny's All-Star Joint.
Yes.
And I heard on Casey Kasem. That one of Ricky's first jobs was working for kind of a sleazy guy who ran a business. She had absolutely no idea what he did. Her only job was to answer the phone. Sit there, write songs, that sort of thing, but answer the phone when it rang.
Right.
Take messages. And when the boss came in, hand him the messages.
Sure.
That was it. And he always went to the back and closed the door, and she never found out what went on behind that door or anything. And Danny is actually her little brother who was seriously injured in a car accident when he was very young. And it had a great effect on her life. So she wrote this song, put his name in the title, and kind of made it about the people where she knew what was going on behind that door.
Well, thank you. Before we sign off here, well, let's sign off here and then hit the button. I'm Brett Weaver.
Button, buddy.
I'm Brett Weaver. I've been enjoying a gin and tonic with Angostura Bitters.
I'm Monica Ballard. I've been enjoying an Austin East cider in a glass.
And I'm Doug Fells. I've been enjoying a hellish beer.
He's drunk.
Yay.
All right, everyone. We will talk to you next week.
Snap your fingers.
Machine and he said, come on, Cecil, give me a dollar. Come on, Cecil, give me five. I'm in a halfway house on one way street. Ooh, and I'm a quarter past level nine. I hear you talk about your people in a one. Your hair turns gray. Sister's in a mustard. She loves to walk the puppy. Pickles in the relish. She never gets enough. Hershey milkshake steaming on a stick. With a heartland sandwich. Oh, let us get thick. It's not because I'm dirty. It's not because I'm clean. It's not because I kiss the boys behind the magazines. Hey, boys, how about the fight? Here comes Ricky with the girl on. She don't know your name. She knows what you got from your matchy ball to the chicken in the pot. Chicken in the pot. Chicken in the pot. Chicken down, downstairs and it's all star joint.